Welcome to the Children's Law Podcast, brought to you by True North Child Advocates, where we believe that advocacy is the answer. Hey, everybody, we're finally back after quite a long break. Thank you for your patience. We have a really interesting topic for you today. We've been thinking a lot about the topic of boundaries, and one of the reasons that it is top of mind for us is that we are seeing an influx of older youth. And so we want to just take some time to talk to you today about managing those relationships as their lawyer and what that looks like.
Yeah, well, let's talk about boundaries. A boundary is, it's a dividing line, right? Between the professional and their client. And it's a line that, you know, it is implied that you don't cross a boundary, right? That's that the boundary is there not to be crossed. That's why it exists. And we know we're expected to have them. We're here to perform a service for a client who is on the other side of that boundary. And, you know, we often talk about performing one service, right? We often talk about the one legal problem that, you know, focus on that. But what we're hearing from colleagues and listeners around the nation are with these kids coming in who are older and who permanency is not really the one pressing legal problem. There are other more pressing fires to put out on their cases. Sometimes with a new client, it's like, okay, where do you start? I mean, just an example, yesterday I went to see a 14-year-old client. And there's just a lot going on. I won't give you the facts now, but it's factually one of the saddest cases I've had in my career. And I think everyone who's listened for a while knows I've been doing this a long time. One of the things she said was, I want to have a quinceanera. And I would say, my social worker and I were there and we were like, oh my gosh, you know. And afterwards, my social worker was like, hey, can we do something? Can we get her a dress? Can we get the photographer? Can we do something? And, you know, this morning I'm getting ready for work and I've got a lot on my plate. I've got a lot of cases and we got some very high profile cases we're working on and I've got a lot of personnel stuff to deal with. But as I'm getting ready, I'm thinking about planning a quinceanera. I can't help myself. Could we rent the Riviera Beach Marina? So boundaries, you see.
Perfect. Yeah.
These kids will, you know, she's not trying to chip away at a boundary. She doesn't even know it's really there, other than like, I'm a lawyer. So yes, there's an automatic boundary. But in the conversation, now I find myself the next morning thinking about quinceaneras. I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. I've only been to one in my life. So what happened? You can turn around and go, wait, what happened to that boundary? I can't even see it anymore, right? So a word of warning, right, Angela?
Yeah. I mean, I think that we try really hard in our podcast to give you three ways to do this and five ways to do that. And boundaries just aren't like that. So today we're going to just give you kind of all the different sides and things to think about, because this field, you can't really do this work without a heart, and you can't be completely separate from your clients and not care about your clients. And yet, boundaries are absolutely essential, both for them and for you and for your entire caseload of clients. So we're going to we'll do our best to have a meaningful discussion that will help you as you evaluate these situations.
Let's talk first about the pros. One of the big pros, I think, is that they may help prevent burnout. Because is it possible that maintaining that boundary in some way keeps you emotionally detached from the client? And that is what enables you to do what you do. I can tell you, early in my profession, that would be my internal answer when people would be like, oh, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. And I would think, well, I have a professional boundary. I'm sort of emotionally detached from what's happening in my cases. Otherwise, how could I sleep at night? And I didn't want to say that because it makes you sound cold and unfeeling. But I think at the time I thought that's what it was. I'm not sure I was accurate. But that is, I think, what is perhaps seen as one of the pros of boundaries is that it does enable you to do work. For instance, like an oncologist, right, must be able to like turn it off. However, my mother always tells me that her oncologist, whenever he brings up my dad, who is gone now, he gets tears in his eyes because he loved my dad so much. And so you hear that story and you think, how does he do what he does? He loses patients all the time. And he's this great doctor and people love him. So that's one pro, I think, is that maybe it prevents some burnout by keeping you somewhat compartmentalized, as you said. I think The other pro is that it can keep a client from making attachments that are not based in reality, right? And I do see this sometimes in the field of child welfare. You'll see well-meaning people, especially when they're new to the field, kind of cross the boundary. And if you use phrases like, you know, I'll always be there for you, or you're my person, or I'm your, you know, I'll be your person, or, you know, I've heard, I love you, right? I've heard that. Yes, I've heard that. And those are, they don't very often turn out to be true statements when given by a professional to a client. They may be what you felt the client needed to hear in that moment, or what the client felt they needed to say in that moment. But a professional boundary, when maintained and when felt by the client, will prevent these exchanges from happening in the first place. And that ultimately is healthy. It's better than pretending the boundary doesn't exist and then letting these exchanges happen. And then the client is thinking there's an attachment there that is not actually there.
There's an irony, and I have to just jump in and interrupt about this, because a lot of what we talk about in this podcast is about really developing this relationship and can put you in more of these situations, because you are, you know, it's the thing about, if I'm going to, you tell your client you're going to come on Tuesday, you come on Tuesday. And that alone can make you the most reliable person they've had in their lives. And so we're not by any stretch, we're not saying don't do the job well, don't care about your clients, don't be consistent, but just to be aware that just doing that, even with the boundary, they may see you as their person.
And then the third pro I would say for is that boundaries sort of keep it professional for your own practice and your own work-life balance, right? I have seen it both ways. I have seen, you know, people keep their boundaries up and therefore they don't get the call after hours, you know, at midnight on a Saturday. They don't get the texts, right? They don't get the calls for food, you know, when the kids are aged out or on the run. The client kind of, it's spoken and it's also unspoken. This is my role. Right. If I've established a professional boundary, they probably won't turn to you for their quinceanera. Right? Now the downside of that, and this is where it gets tricky and leads us into a nice segue to the butt that we are going to have here at the end of the pros, is they probably won't have a quinceanera. Okay.
Right.
And so this is where our field, I think, when it comes to boundaries, gets very nuanced. Okay, so the but here is that there are also cons of boundaries.
Right.
We started out by saying one of the pros is that they might prevent burnout, but the first con is, do they, for some people, promote burnout? Because like you said at the beginning, Angela, it takes heart to do this work, right?
Yeah.
And the people we've met and known over the years who stay with it and are the best at it, they're in it, they have it. Their heart is in it on some level. Doesn't mean they don't have boundaries, but their heart is in it. So can some people not do this work without the why, in quotes? And is the why the relationship with the kid? It doesn't mean it's not a professional relationship with the kid. It can be a professional relationship with the kid. That can be your why. So that could be one of the cons of the strict old school definition of boundaries, is that it might promote burnout, because if you're not feeling an emotional attachment to the work or an emotional connection on some level to the kids, you might at the end of the day be like, I'm pushing a boulder up a hill, and why? I'm not feeling it. And so like when I said earlier, I'm not sure I was accurate in my self-assessment when I was a younger practitioner. I wonder if it wasn't emotional detachment that's kept me in the work all these years, but maybe it was emotional connection to the clients with boundaries. But my why was there, and that's why I'm still here. So I don't know. It's nuanced, like I said.
But I do think you're right. When I think back to my court days, there are so many cases that even when you do all the things that you intend to do and that you're supposed to do, it doesn't go the way you hope it will, because you don't control all the players. And so sometimes, you know, it is the case where you have a little bit of you know the kid more, you've spent more time, and things go well, and that keeps you in the field. That's the kind of the light that you can look to and be like, oh, today was a rough day, but this child is doing great. And that is meaningful. So I do think for some people, and that's the nuance, is that everyone is wired a little differently. I know for me, even though I tried to, you know, keep boundaries, if I didn't really care about these kids, I wouldn't have stayed up late and done all the things that needed to be done. Because I remember I had 500 clients, so that was a different zone. Yeah.
Right. Right. So with 500 clients, you need, you know, what's the fuel that keeps the fuel burning or the fire burning?
Be something besides the salary that I got. It was truly, yeah. Yeah. Right. So it is a pro and a con, I think.
Yeah.
Depending on the person.
And I think that the second con is, and this might be something that I sense shifting a little bit, maybe in society, maybe just in our profession, but do boundaries promote advocacy that lack compassion in some way, or can they accidentally promote advocacy that lacks compassion? And for this, I think about, you know, again, as promised, back to the medical analogy, bedside manner, right? Mm-hmm. So you look at Google reviews of doctors, and the highest reviews are always talk about their bedside manner. They were so compassionate. They listened. They cared. They, right? It's, yep. It, you know, and so there's something there about compassionate advocacy that that strict adherence to professional boundaries may inhibit if, you know,
yeah.
If not exercised intentionally. I mean, that may be a con to strict boundaries. And then finally, I think, you know, does the strict adherence to the concept of professional boundaries in some way maybe ignore the fact that we are dealing with children, and not just children on the level of like a pediatrician who's dealing with children who sends them home with their parents to be treated but kids who may not have anyone else, especially as you said at the beginning, Angela, with this influx of older kids that are coming in after either adoptions that did not work out or failed reunification attempts later in their youth. And so this is where you find yourself with a client representing a child who has no one else. And you may find yourself in unintentionally actually being a positive role model, or like we said, a positive childhood experience here for this child when you did not expect to be some part of their life that is countering their adverse childhood experience. And here you are, and you're doing it. You didn't intend to do it, but have you crossed it? Like I said, you turn around and you go, wait, where's the boundary line? What happened to it? It's gone.
The sad truth is that the bar is so low for some of these kids. They literally have not had an adult in their life who does what they say they're going to do. And that's not every kid, but some of the kids have been let down again and again by their family, by their case manager, by, you know, all the different people have come and gone. And if you just show up and listen and are present and engaging, in that, in their view, may attach them to you in a way that's beyond the boundary that you meant to set. So it is, I mean, I think that's the part of it that is unique. And also, so much of our ability to do our job, particularly with the older kids, is them trusting us. If you don't build enough of a relationship that they trust you, you may never know what you need to know to help that kid move forward, to help them become independent, to find the people in their lives that can be their person that's not you. This is the nuances that you have to get right up to that line to do your job. And then I think sometimes you fall one way or the other, and then you find yourself in a situation of how do I, you know, kind of restore this? Or is it an exception? Because I think that, you know, you started with a story that is like making me tear up about the quinceañera. And, you know, sometimes you're going to cross the boundary, but you do eyes wide open. And you decide that I know that this is beyond my role. I know, you know, that this is not the lawyer role, but in this moment, at this time for this kid, it's the right thing to do.
That's the the phrase right there. That's the phrase. At this moment, this is the right thing to do for this kid. So, because we all, anyone who's been in the field for a while has an example of either a case manager or a teacher or a doctor who has adopted one of our clients, but was first in a professional relationship with them. And at some point, they all made a decision to cross that boundary. They've stepped away from the case as a professional so that they could cross the boundary and become an adoptive parent or a foster parent or something for that client. I've even had pediatric specialists step in and take kids who they cared for. And that's obviously crossing a boundary, but it's done with intention, like you said, right? Yeah. The boundaries, they're there for a reason. They keep us sane and healthy. And I think they establish professional expectations and probably breed respect from our clients that they need to have in us, especially when we need to discuss and serious matters with them and advocate for them and give them advice. You want that professional respect between you and the client. And I think boundaries are a part of that whole relationship. We're not here to be their friend. We're here to be their lawyer. But, and I think this is why we did this warning up front that this was going to be, this was not going to be clear cut. This was going to be a little murky. Be aware, I can't think of a practitioner who's done this for a while that has not found themselves in the situation where they have said, this kid, this situation, I need to cross that boundary and do this for this kid, because if I don't, it's not going to happen. And I'm a lawyer, but I'm still a human being.
Yeah.
And that's a child who does. So I think that's a, if you do cross it, be aware that you're crossing it with intention and for the right reason. And always I would recommend seek, you know, advice and discuss it with either a supervisor or a colleague or another person in child welfare who you trust, and to tell you, you know, hey, you're doing the right thing, or hey, you need to check yourself.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think the last thing that I want to make sure and touch on, because it wouldn't be consistent with our practice philosophy if we didn't bring this home one more time. And that is, as you make these decisions about how far you're going to go in these cases and when you're going to kind of step over because you feel it necessary for this child, you always have to weigh that with your overall job of solving the child's one legal problem. And as if you don't have a plan for an older youth to become independent and to not continue to rely on you, you will be not only failing them because they need their own person, but you also have all these other kids coming in and on your caseload where you need to be taking action so that they don't end up in this situation. And so not having boundaries can definitely burn you out, because if you're not letting the kids go and launching them and helping them find their people, and you're trying to be that for too many kids, you will burn out. You won't be able to serve any of them well. And so that's where it's, you know, very individual based on your workload, your caseload, but you never want to lose sight of where your real power is. And that is in getting these cases on track and making sure that the kids have a home to go to. As you evaluate these situations, you just don't want to lose sight of the big picture. So to wrap it up, as predicted, this was a little all over the board, and thank you for staying with us. But we really did want to present all sides of this to you. And I think that if we were to give one takeaway, it would just be that know where the boundary is as you're approaching it. And if you're going to cross it, do it with intention. Consult with others on the case, your supervisor, you know, just make sure it's thoughtful and intentional. And in the end, you got to go with your heart.
And there will be a quinceanera.
I knew it. Thanks everyone for listening.
You've been listening to the Children's Law Podcast, brought to you by True North Child Advocates. Please take a moment to subscribe and spread the word. Thank you.